Let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we are in the mid part of this service. We pray, Father, that your spirit will continue to move in a way that only you can. Give us eyes to see and hear what you'd have for us today, that we might not be the same as we walked in, but our relationship with you might be stronger, might be better, and a little bit deeper. We ask this, Lord, in Christ's name, who is above all names. It's his name we ask. In Christ's name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Exodus today in chapter 15. I want to bring you up to a place where we, as human beings, we all go through times of trials and so-called tribulations. But as a believer, it's a little different. It is a little different. It doesn't mean we don't have struggles in our walk in the world, in our lifetime. We will. But some of these are going to be a little different than what the world is going through. And we're not going to talk about really persecution to a point, but we're going to talk about some other things as walking with the Lord, how he allows some things to happen in our lives. What I want to share with you is that Israel has left Egypt. They were under slavery for 400 years. They've seen these 10 plagues that come from God. It didn't harm them, but it did the Egyptians, and Egypt was annihilated, just physically and spirit. It just was annihilated. They were set free, and they go out, and they go, and then they find out that they come to the Red Sea, and then they see the enemy is pursuing them. And what we see here is that God opens up the Red Sea. Now, there are some parts of the Red Sea, about 4 football. They say the average is like 400. It's like 400 yards deep. That's deep. That's like 4 football fields. That's like looking up. Some of them, it's like 100 yards. Even if you took 100 yards and you looked up, that's still deep. Regardless what the point was at the Red Sea, we know that God moved it and split it open and made a way. Split it up. So not only did this generation see what God did with Egypt and the plagues and the Passover, but also what he did right in front of them. Right in front of them. And they were able to walk over on dry ground. Now, if you've ever been out here to Salamone, you've been out here to Huntington Reservoir, when they let that water out and it goes down, you don't dare walk out there as soon as they let it out. You will sink. But God dried it all up and they walked right over it. And when they made it safely to the other side, God allowed the walls of the water to fall on the Egyptians. Enemy was wiped out. We don't even hear the word Egypt. Only when people were grumbling, wanted to go back to a mess. But we do not see an Egyptian soldier pursuing them anymore. I do want to remind you sometimes when God allows us to defeat an enemy, sometimes we never see it again. And that's a blessing. But what we're going to talk about today is something that happened. Many of us don't really know what happened after. What they did is they started singing a song. They got so excited they were praising God and began to sing songs. Moses and the guys, they were singing. Moses and Miriam, they were singing. Miriam picks up, we can call it tambourine, whatever. Starts shaking it, and they're all singing. They're happy. We're happy when we go through a trying time. We're happy that God brought us through. But what happens is, now we got to go to the next place. And God, you got to remember, God is bringing these people to a promised land. And when God calls you from one place to another, we need to get this out of our head. It's not going to be a golden road with no problems. We're going to have some problems. We're going to need to be tested. We're going to need to go through some tough times. And they're getting ready to go through it. Because sometimes the enemy is not people. I believe this is what God is teaching them. Verse 22, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled into the desert without finding water. Now they are in the desert, the complete desert, and they have no water. Now I know and you know that we need water to survive. We need liquid to go into our bodies to survive. And now they're going through this, and here we find they're into a desert. Sometimes when you're on a mountaintop, the next place you end up is in a desert. You end up going through a tough time. And it's in that tough time you're going to find out who you really are. A desert is a place where the sun just scorches down. There is no relief. You are walking in this nothing but desert. As far as your eyes can see, you see little to nothing. You may see something on the horizon. You may see something far out there. You see it moving and it's waving because of the heat. You might see some mountains or hills or something, but you're not sure. It's all off in the distance. I want to tell you, it's in that desert when you start questioning yourself. It's in that desert when you start examining how your relationship is with God. Now, I want to remind you that if you have the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, when you go into a desert, you're not going alone. These people were not going alone, but they couldn't get it out of their head. So they needed water. They needed water. Somehow, they got to figure it out. So when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So what we see is they must have saw something in the distance. Maybe it was that wavy kind of image that you couldn't place it, but they're heading in that direction. And it's on their path. They come to it thinking, yes, here's some water, and it ends up being bitter. And that's what sometimes we do when we're going through life. We see it, we're going through some stuff. We just got off the mountaintop, a good experience with the Lord. We got to see, we got testimony with the Lord. Then we end up in the desert. And I want to remind you that that desert is not always the desert. If you think of it, listen, when you're walking and you're growing in the Lord, I'm going to tell you, a desert is not always a bad place to be. But we have a tendency to complain in the desert every single time. But it's in the desert where you get your testimonies. And so this water is bitter. They couldn't find it. They finally found the spot. They said, this is where we're going to go. This is the water. And it ends up being bitter. And you got, man, talking about get your hopes up. That's a lot of people. Want to go to this one spot, and the water is no good. You know, some people feel that bitterness. You know, we're going to be going into Ruth here soon on Sunday night. But Ruth 1:20 says this, don't call me Naomi, she told me. Call me Mara. Because Almighty has made my life very bitter. This water was bitter. It was undrinkable. So we got to do something about it. So what do? So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? The attitude that we have displays everything when we're in the desert. Some of us, we like to grumble real quick. We like to fire every blame piece out to everybody else, and we take no responsibility. Some of us like to blame ourselves, and we put so much on ourselves that we just put ourselves down, and we forget that we're not alone. We forget that we're not alone, but we think we're alone. We try to do it on ourselves. Well, anyway, we end up grumbling. And they grumbled to Moses. They grumbled to Moses. What does Moses do? There it says, then Moses cried out to the Lord. Now what happens is the people need to learn something. Now they did follow Moses. They needed to follow Moses, but they grumbled to Moses. But Moses cries out to God. You see, there's a difference. You can grumble to somebody, but when you take it to the Lord, now something's going to happen. Okay? Yeah, you need your spiritual leaders in place, but here we see this. He says this. So there the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them. Oh, I'm sorry, back up. Then Moses cried out in verse 25 to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. Makes it very simple. Hey, there's some wood over there. Throw it in the water. Pick it up with the water, throw it in the water, and it becomes good. Only God could do that. Amen? Only God could do that. Here's the difference. Moses follows instructions. Moses follows instructions. They would have still been there with the bitter water if Moses didn't take the wood. Didn't make no sense. But sometimes what God is doing, it's actually really that, it's not that God doesn't make sense. We just don't understand his mind. Pick up the wood, throw it in the water. Basic instruction. Just pick up the wood and throw it in the water. First of all, you got to pick it up because you're listening and you're obeying. Number two, you got to believe it. Pick it up and throw it in the water. He's picking up, throwing the water, and now they're all drinking. If he didn't pick up the piece of wood and throw it in the water, they would have still been looking at water that was undrinkable. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me well. The Bible says that we are to be together, husband and wife are to be together. We don't need porn to help us through our marriage. We don't need alcohol to drink to oblivious. We don't need to put other things in our body. We stay with the same. We stay. It's a man and a woman. We stay in that realm. We follow the Lord. We listen to the Lord. We do what's right. We do what this says. And when we do what this says, we obey it and we listen to it. The bitter stuff goes away. But no, we want to keep the junk in our life. We want to drink the bitter water. We want to grumble about things, but we don't want to work through it. And we have to work through it with the instructions God gives to us. And folks, they're not that hard. But we make it complicated because we kind of enjoy the sin that we commit. If it's not yours, you don't take it. If he's not yours, leave him alone. If she's not yours, leave her alone. You don't have to lie to get to where you need to go. Let truth and honesty come out of your mouth and your eyes and your hands and where your feet, where you take yourself. It's a simple, simple thing. Pick up that wood and throw it in the water. And there the Lord issued a ruling, an instruction for them, and put them to the test. There's a reason they're in the desert. Sometimes the Lord wants to test our faith. It's in the desert when we find out who we are as a believers in Christ. We find out there. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now they've seen more than all of us have put together. They've seen miracles more than any other generation of people on the face of the earth in the past and the present. They've seen amazing things. But still, it would sway so many of them, their hearts would not sway to the Lord. Just seeing God do something doesn't sway the heart. It might sway the emotion. But I'll tell you, today, this generation, we've seen a lot. Man can do a lot. We're always looking for the next thrill. We're always looking for the next thing. What do we see that can't be done? Oh, we're going to take people up in space. We're going to camp out. We're going to have a camp out and watch whatever. We're going to go to the moon. We're going to have a good time. We're going to put houses on the moon. Say that 30 years ago, people would be laughing, like laughing at you. But I want to tell you, when God's in something, it's something man cannot do. And the people were tested. He puts them to the test. For he says, I am the Lord. What is God doing? God's saying, here's a point. Here's a crossroads where your eyes are focused on your need and this piece right here in front of you. Now I've got your full attention. I want to remind you who I am, what I'm all about, and who you are. He says, I am the Lord. Introducing himself, I am the Lord. I'm the one who heals. God's saying, here it is, you and I are meeting. They've seen his work in Egypt. They've seen his work at the Red Sea. They've seen a little bit of the work right here in Mara. But it's in the desert. Because sometimes in the desert, when you're not in the desert, your eyes are on everything else. But in the desert, you have a tendency to focus on the problem, and those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ will focus on Christ. Problem, Christ. Christ, problem. Putting them together. But when we're doing all this other stuff, and our eyes are going to the right and to the left, we have a tendency to keep unfocused. But this is a moment in the desert where we can get focused. Problems are a place where we get really focused with God. Have you noticed when you're in a problem, you start praying more? Some of you pick up your Bible and actually start reading a little bit more. Some of you might listen to a podcast or might listen to some preaching online besides what you get here. And that's good. But what are you doing? You're drawing to the Lord and you're bringing your problems with you. And when that problem, when you're having problems and you're at that crossroads, you have a tendency to want to listen a little bit more. We want to start obeying. And that's the whole key piece. It's obeying and listening. He says, I brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery. I'm giving you a future. That's what God is saying. We're on this journey together. My lifespan, God's been with me from the day I was saved to today. And because of his promises, even into eternity. Same thing for you. What he's saying is, we in this thing together. Now, you want to act out of accord? Well, the Bible says God disciplines those whom he loves. God's going to do that. There's going to be some times of testing. And sometimes we're not going to do so well. But God is merciful to his children. God allows us to wander in the desert maybe a little bit longer than we should. So we're all going to be in the desert, but we don't have to be there any longer than we need to. Any longer than the Lord wants us to. But sometimes the desert can be almost a lifetime for certain things in your life. You got some things in your body that don't work right. You got some things in your life that some things happen and you can't change those. Just the way things are going to be. You got to figure out how to work with it and through it. It isn't that the desert is a bad place. It's only a bad place when we focus on the desert. But when we focus on God being in the desert, then we don't have to look at the desert so much. We can look at the one that's bigger than the desert, and that's God. Because the desert is a dry, full place. But when we look at Jesus Christ, he's everlasting water. When we're in the desert, we have thirst. But when we're with Christ, that thirst is quenched. The desert is a lonely place. But with Christ, I'm telling you, you have companionship that sticks closer than a brother. In the desert, sometimes it's exactly where God wants us to be, so that we'll draw closer to him. And the scripture does say, if we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. Sometimes we get all caught up in the world, and we start forgetting about God. We may attend church, but we start forgetting about our relationship with God. And that isn't what God wants. So Moses throws the stick in the wood into the water, and God blesses them in the water, and it becomes good water. God blesses them in the desert. God blesses them in the desert. Got this pool of water, and it's great. But that's not where God wants to leave us, because God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves the whole world, but he loves his children. He loves his children. I want to ask you a question, a side note. Can you call God your father? I hope you can this morning. I hope you can call God your father, because that's who he is. And the aspect of calling him father is giving respect to him, and also is saying that he is in charge and not me. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm a child of God. He's in charge. That desert can be very, very hard. And you know in the future they end up roaming in the desert for 40 years because of their rebelliousness against God. God still loved them in the desert, He said their sandals weren't going to wear out, their clothes weren't going to wear out, but their lives were going to come to an end in the desert until a new generation arose. But what does God do with them? Then they came to Elim. God is moving them on. Where there were 12 springs. Only God can do that. You know how many tribes there are? 12. 12 springs of water. We all don't have to crowd around this one. Now each tribe can go to their own. Each tribe can go to their own, and they can do that. And so God is blessing them. And also, and it says, in 70 palm trees. 70 palm trees. And they camped there near the water. So 70 palm trees. What's these palm trees significant? What is that? Well, in the desert, there is no shade. You find no shade in the desert. 70 palm trees would be very, very good, wouldn't it? Stopping the beating of the sun. What else do we need? We need some water. What is God showing them? What is God showing them there? God is showing them, when you do it my way, there's blessings involved. And it's usually more than whatever you ask for. Because God just loves to give. God loves to bless. God loves to invest into your life. When you came to that place where you were saved, you received the most greatest gift man has ever known. There's nothing. The gift of salvation is priceless. But it did cost a price. Jesus Christ gave his life so that we might have eternal life. But even after that, God did not stop blessing people. God still loves to bless his children. Even here. Now the greater blessings are in heaven and stored up there. Even Jesus says, don't store up treasures here, store them up in heaven. But here, God continues to bless. I like it when God blesses me. How about you? I've had so many prayers answered. How about you? You've had some prayers answered? I hope that you have. And I hope you understand, knowing that it wasn't your energy that did it, that you didn't do it, that God did it. And you just prayed and you lifted his name up and you prayed about the situation while you're in the desert. And in that immediate moment, he gave you what you needed to. He gave you some peace. He made that bitter spirit, he made whatever was bitter in there and gave you some peace. That's how it works. He calmed the stress down where sleep was now attainable. But the big blessing was still coming. He removes some things that's in your way. You know, sometimes the blessing is when God removes someone out of your life. When God removes someone out of your ministry. When God removes someone that is a stumbling block before you. Or someone that just the dark side continues to work through. And sometimes darkness works through believers. Sometimes people just need to go out of your way. And God has a way of doing that. I don't know. He just has a way of doing that. And he can even bless both sides through that. But God is wanting to bless us. So the times of testing are necessary. There's a purpose for them. And we go through them and we don't have to have a bad attitude, but our attitude needs to be that of like Christ. We need to say, this is the situation I'm in. I don't like it. I really don't like the situation I'm in, but this is going to give me an opportunity. Lord, let this not just be a bunch of junk in my life or a big problem. Lord, use this for your purpose. Bring glory in this situation. I don't see it right now. I'm angry and I'm upset about what's in front of me. But I know this. I know Scripture. Scripture tells me. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. That I'm not going through things just because I'm just going through things. But I'm a child of God, just like you. I'm going through tough times. When I go through tough times, I know that there's a purpose in those times. For my spiritual growth. For some doors to be open or maybe some doors to be closed. I need to work those out. Every Christian goes through tough times. Every Christian goes through the desert. It's just what's your attitude going to be when you go through the desert? Who are you going to grumble to? Who are you going to talk to? Attitude displays everything. You can go in. You see, it was very easy to come on the outside. And I think it's a good thing. It was a great thing for Moses and Miriam to sing after they went through the Red Sea. Wow, that's praise moments to God. But we see very little praise. We don't see praise moments here. But we do see obedience here. Pick up the wood, throw it in the water. So sometimes we may not always have the praising part, but we need to make sure we have the obedient part. And when I believe our relationship with God begins to grow deeper, it won't just be that we'll be praising Him at the mountaintop, but we'll be praising Him in the desert. And that praising in the desert will actually be more powerful than just praising on the mountaintop. Because you have to learn how to praise God in the joyful times, but also learn how to praise God in the sorrowful times and in the hard times. What does that do? That puts your reliance on God and not on yourself. That puts your reliance on Him, that He can work through it. That we don't need all this other people, all everybody else needs to know your personal business sometimes. Sometimes it's good to share, but we need to be doing that and giving it to God. They came to Elim where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. What do you think their eyes would look like? Do you think that they came up and started smiling? Wow, look what God brought us to. We came from the great experience of the Red Sea. Great place. The enemies were destroyed. We went through a desert, and now He's brought us to a great place, and we're going to camp here for a while. 12 springs. That seems impossible. 70 palm trees. God brought them to where they needed to be. Listen, sometimes your desert is the road, the path for your blessing. Did you hear me? The blessings is your... Sometimes that road to get there is a desert road. And if you have a relationship with Christ, you're going to make it. You see, the world can't do that. The world would still be back there grumbling and fighting over bitter water. But not Christians. We should not be like that. We take. You see, even in our country right now, we're struggling with this whole thing with Afghanistan. I take my heart to the Lord. I served 5 years. It can be hard. And everyone knows when you sign up that there it could cost you your life. But nobody wants to pay that, but they all know that. But I want to remind you that this big ball of mud that spins on its axis is in the hand of the Lord. And no man can change. Ain't no man, there is no man and no position. The world is lying and fooling one another. There is God and there is the adversary. And this is God's world. And God is in control. And even though we may be in a desert as a nation, let me tell you, it's God who we should be talking to. This church goes through things. It is God that we should be talking to. And when you go through financial problems, or you're going through physical problems, and you're going through marital problems, and you're going through your children going wayward, and you're going through your work problems, and you're going through your church problems, you're going through your whatever you're going through, I want to tell you there's no better place than we need to be is in front of Jesus Christ and Christ Himself. Because if you could have fixed it, you would have fixed it. You're horrible at fixing your problems. I'm horrible at fixing my problems. I screw it up every time when I start doing my own stuff. When I make my decisions and I don't put God in it, it messes up every single time. Come on now. How many of y'all flopped out because of your own decisions, your own choices? We're horrible with making choices and decisions. When God just says simply pick up the wood and throw it in the water. It's a simple thing. Obey me. Obey me. Right here. Obey the word. Pray to God. Ask for direction. Get through the desert. Every step you move through the desert is one step closer to the springs. It's one step closer to the 70 palm trees. It's whatever God has for you. And it may not look exactly what you're looking for when you get there. But I want to tell you, if God's hand's on it, that's what you need. Because here's the thing. When you look at this story and you look at these people, they were very big grumblers. But God was still loving them anyway. And when they go into the next part, God's going to take care of them in an amazing way. He's going to have food from heaven come down. Come on now, who could do that? God Himself. Feeding people from heaven. You know what? The answers to your prayer, some of you said, yeah, I'd answer prayer. Let me tell you, where'd that come from? That come from heaven. You don't understand when you're praying to God. And when you seek out God, you're doing the most dangerous thing in the world. You're seeking out the Holy One. You're seeking out your Father. And I want to tell you, even in the book of Daniel, the angel says that when you prayed the first time, your prayer was heard. God in heaven, Christ hears your prayers. Moses says, Lord, this water is bitter. Wow, that's what we need to do. Not grumble, but cry out to God. And when he hears your prayers, he comes down and he answers that. You're getting something from the hand of God. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's peace. Because this world cannot give you peace. You know that. Maybe it's just peace when you go through someone you lost and your heart is broken. And what did it say? He says, I am the God who heals. You're not going to forget your loved one. But he'll heal that broken heart. You know how many lost people run around, they lose people, and they don't know. They just don't know. I don't know if they would die. I don't know. I don't know what. We don't believe in God. What happened to. I think he's. And they just. They're crazy. But not us. Because God's word says, I'm the God who heals. I'll take care of that. I go through my deserts. I'm telling you, the first thing I do, I talk to him. Because I've been down this road long enough to know when I go to him, I know this. At least I know that I'm going to go through it. But I'm not going to go through it alone. We're going through this thing together. Because he said he'd never leave me and never forsake me. And I don't just want to read the scriptures. I want to experience the power of the scriptures. And that's knowing this. When I walk through the desert, when you walk through that desert, you have everything you need to walk through the desert. You have Christ. If you got Christ, you have everything you need. Christ isn't going to say, whoops, forgot about you. Oh, my bad. Forgot you were over there. No, let me tell you. I'm going to close with this. Sometimes when you're heading toward the desert, I believe God's already there waiting on you. Because your life, he's just pointing you in the right direction. And sometimes that road is awesome. And sometimes it's a little rough. But isn't that the way with marriage too? Isn't that the way with raising kids? Isn't that the way in life? You have good days. You have some rough times. But I want to tell you, I would rather go through my desert with Jesus than going through with all the material things I think that's going to make me through and get me through. All that stuff is going to fall apart. Jesus is your answer and your go-to in the desert. And everybody's desert right now is a little bit different than one another. But you know what? It's still a desert. And God is good. He knows how to walk through any type of desert, because you're not the first one. You're not the first one to have a marriage problem. You're not the first one to have a financial problem. You're not the first one to have a health problem. You're not the first one to have a wayward child. You're not the first one who's lost a loved one. You're not the first one who's got fired from the job. You're not the first one who was told no and no and no and no. You're not the first one who you felt betrayed by a friend. You're not the first one. God's been dealing with people since Adam and Eve. And one thing I know about reading Scripture, people are a mess. And when they let God in their life, messes start getting blessings. Now let God be a part of it. You'll take your mess. You'll work through it. Then the blessings come. Simple. Obey His word. Follow Him. Seek Him. And Scripture says, and you will find. Father, as we get ready to close this part of the message, may it continue to penetrate our hearts today. And Lord, if anyone is in that desert place today, may they be reminded right now of your Spirit to let them know they're not alone if they ask you to be with them, to obey you in the desert. We lift up this time of response to you, that your way may be done and your will may be done. In Christ's name, amen.